Hello, everyone. This is Emily Telishevsky, Membership Engagement Specialist at the League, and I want to thank you for joining another important webinar on the COVID-19 pandemic. Today's webinar focuses on the new FOIA executive order signed recently by Governor Gretchen Whitmer, which changes the requirements for responding to FOIA requests received during the state of emergency related to COVID-19. The stated purpose of the executive order is to protect workers who handle FOIA requests by allowing public bodies to defer all or some portion of requests that would require workers to report to work in person. This webinar will help you understand how to handle FOIA requests under the new rules and will offer suggestions for best practices. A few notes before we get started. Following the presentation, I will be facilitating a Q&A session with participants. So to submit questions, please type them in the chat box on the upper left side of your screen. And now let me formally introduce our speaker today. Lisa J. Hamame is an attorney at RSJA Law and practices primarily municipal law, land use and zoning, condominium, and homeowners association law. She earned her Bachelor of Science degree in criminal justice from Wayne State University in 1995 and is a 2000 graduate of Wayne State University Law School. Lisa has been recognized by Michigan Super Lawyers for 7 consecutive years. In 2011 and 2012, she was recognized as a rising star. And from 2013 through 2018, she was included as a super lawyer for government, cities, and municipalities. She was also selected for Best Lawyers in America in 2016 through 2020 in municipal law and as a top lawyer for D business in 2014 and 2017 through 2020. In 2014, Lisa was selected for the 2014 class of Women in the Law by Michigan Lawyers Weekly. Additionally, Lisa has been honored with multiple awards for her contributions to the community outside of the legal profession. She is a seasoned presenter and author and also serves on the State Bar of Michigan's Board of Commissioners. Thank you, Lisa, and I'll turn it over to you to begin.
Thanks, Emily. So these are extraordinary times. Everybody's been hearing it. Everybody's been saying it. We're all living through it together. But fortunately for us, our governor is recognizing that and she's making some accommodations. And the purpose of this webinar is to help guide you through the changes so you know what you can and can't do when receiving FOIA requests during the state of emergency. So the presentation is going to focus on really 4 areas. I'm going to give you just a little bit of background of FOIA, and the purpose of that is so that I can easily then distinguish for you the changes from what you're used to, what FOIA says, to what the governor's executive order says. So we'll just spend a few slides on general FOIA. We'll then talk about COVID-19 and some of her executive orders, particularly the stay at home, stay safe order. We'll go into her executive order 2020-38, which is the changes to FOIA. And then at the end of this presentation, I've put together, my firm and I collectively, and if you know what it's like to have, you know, 7 lawyers input in one project, you'll know that it was like watching sausage be made. But we collectively came up with some sample documents. So we came up with a sample letter that you could use as a response to FOIA, which we'll talk about when we get towards the end. We also have a sample website notice that incorporates some of the changes of that Executive Order 2020-38 has enacted. And we also were fortunate enough to have a very esteemed lawyer, Clyde Robinson, share with us what he calls a decision tree. And it's basically a questionnaire you would ask yourself, which would then guide you in what you should do. So that's what we're going to be talking about today. So we'll get right into it. We all know the public policy of FOIA. This is a stated purpose. It's that all persons are entitled to full and complete information regarding the affairs of government and the official acts of those who represent them as public officials and public employees. We know that it requires the local governmental body to provide all public records when requested, unless explicitly exempted by the act. So there's a section in FOIA, which you all, I'm sure, have seen, that lays out all of the records that you may exempt. There is a requirement that if you do exempt a document, whether it's by redacting or denying entirely, you have to specifically explain that in your denial letter. We'll get more into that as well. So FOIA provides specific time periods by which a public body must respond to a request. We all know it's 5 business days after receipt, but you can ask for a 10-day extension, or I should say, you could notice them that you're taking a 10-day extension, which could total 15 days, business days. So the time periods in which you respond, the triggering date of when you quote unquote receive it is the date it's received when it's made by first class mail and hand delivery. So the day you get it. If it's by email, website submission, or fax, it's not received until 1 business day after the transmission was made. And again, we're still talking about FOIA under the rules. As you know, when you respond to a FOIA request, you have 4 options. All must be in writing. You can either grant the request, you can deny the request, you can grant in part, deny in part. And remember, if you're denying or denying in part, you have to explicitly state why. And then the 4th option is to exercise your right to extend the time to respond for not more than 10 business days. Appeals are a little bit different. Under FOIA, if a request is denied in full or in part, or if somebody wants to challenge a fee imposed, in your FOIA denial, you have to provide notice that what the reason for the denial. You also have to include their appeal rights, including their right to an attorney fees and damages if they end up filing suit and are successful. I'm sure all of this is found within your local governmental body's policies and procedures that you were forced to adopt and put on your website back in 2015. But I'm just, again, going over some of these so that we can show you the distinctions from the executive order. So appeals, I was telling you, is a little bit different. Appeals right now under the statutory FOIA, a head of public body must respond to appeal within 10 business days after receipt of the request. And then they could extend that upon written notice for 10 additional days. FOIA says that if the head of the public body is a board or commission, then it is not received, again, we're talking about appeals, is not received until the first regularly scheduled meeting of the board or commission following submission of the appeal. So every governmental entity is different. For example, Township Board's governing body is the Charter Township Act or the Township Act. Those acts specifically say that the head of the public body is the township board. It could be different in cities and villages. Although they do have governing documents, a lot of times charters might dictate who the head of the public body is in some communities. So you're gonna wanna double check that with your attorney, just to make sure you understand who the head of the public body is for your community or your entity. So responding to appeals under FOIA, again, we're still talking about FOIA. There are 4 options. All must be in writing. You can reverse the denial. You can uphold the denial. You could reverse the denial in part and uphold the denial in part. Or under unusual circumstances, you can extend the time to respond for not more than 10 business days. So this is a little bit different than just responding to a request for public documents in that the act specifically says you can get the 10-day extension under unusual circumstances. You'd have to state what those circumstances are, of course, in your notice. So then COVID-19 hits, and I've got a quote in here from the governor, which really kind of tags on to the public policy we talked about at the beginning of FOIA. And she reiterates that public bodies must still respond to FOIA requests in a timely manner and in the safest way possible. On March 23rd, the governor issued Executive Order 2020-21, which prohibited all Michigan businesses and operations to temporarily suspend in-person operations that are not necessary to sustain or protect life. We've all been hearing about this order. We've heard a lot of people complain about this order, but the reality is this order also applies to local governmental bodies. So how does that then come into play when you've got an act, the Freedom of Information Act, that specifically requires you take certain action within certain time frames? So the community, the legal community, had so many discussions on listservs and debates and arguments on how do we handle FOIA if we have to stay home. And so fortunately, the governor recently issued on Sunday night, Executive Order 2020-38. And I know that you probably cannot read this because it's so small, but it looked so formal and nice that I wanted to put it in my presentation. But the link is also the next page. And we missed it. So the link is here, and I understand that Emily is going to put a link for you all to be able to reach in a chat. So you'll have access to it, unless I'm sure you might have already had it. But in case you don't, it's not a very difficult read, so you can read through it. What does EO 2020-38 actually do? Once you boil it down, boil down her however many pages this is, she changes three things. She changes responding to FOIA requests and appeals. She changes the ability to extend your ability to respond by more than 10 days. And she creates this new animal called deferrals, where a local governmental body can then defer responding to the FOIA. We're going to talk about these in those three categories. So first, we're going to talk about response time today under the executive order. The executive order changes the initial response time for requests or appeals received by first class mail, hand delivery, and fax from 5 days to 10 days. The order does not affect response time for email or website submission, so we revert back to FOIA, which is 5 days, right? Unless you get the 10-day extension. So if the request, and we're just talking about requests right now, we haven't gotten to appeals yet. So just requests for public documents. If we're talking about first class mail, hand delivering facsimile, then it is 10 business days for you to respond. If we're talking about requests received by email or website submission or some other electronic means, I don't know if you allow texts, but any electronic means, then it's still 5 business days that you have to respond. Here's where it gets a little tricky, and we'll talk about it, but the order changes its initial response time for requests or appeals. It's what it specifically says, except that if you look at FOIA's response time for appeals, it already says 10 days. So it really hasn't extended your ability or your time frame to respond to appeals for more than 10 business days, which was the original. The other part of the response time change is the governor's order defined the term received, which isn't something that we saw in the Freedom of Information Act. She says, for purposes of this order, received is when an employee of the public body physically opens the envelope containing the request or physically takes the fax request from the fax machine. Here's a nuance, though. It doesn't say when the FOIA coordinator physically opens the envelope or when the FOIA coordinator takes it off the fax. It says an employee. So it needs to be clearly made to whoever's opening mail or taking things off the fax that as soon as that's open, they need to stamp it so the FOIA coordinator understands when it's quote unquote received. Again, the order does not change receipt time for emails or website submission. So they're the same as they are under the Freedom of Information Act, which says the one business day after the transmission was made. So that's the first part of what the order did, which was responses in changing the definition or at least defining the term when it's received. The next thing that the governor's order did, which I'm going to be honest here, is really confusing in application, is that she basically says that if COVID-19 or any other response efforts, including her orders or any mitigation recommendations related to COVID, interferes with a public body's ability to timely respond to a request or appeal, the order grants the public body the ability to elect an extension to respond to a FOIA request or appeal from the 10 business days permitted under FOIA for as long as the public body deems necessary, but no longer than until the expiration of this order or any other order that follows from it. So keep in mind, as we talk about deferrals, that this extension option specifically applies to requests and appeals. All right, now we're talking about deferrals. Deferrals is a new animal that the governor created in her order. A deferral is permitted if the FOIA request requires in-person efforts in order to respond. For example, having to go into the city hall to search for a record, to see if you even have a record, to prepare or production of the public record, or by allowing a requester to come and view public records, then the public body may defer preparing that portion of the request until the expiration of the order or any extension of it. The deferral section applies to all requests, including email and website submission. So you can defer any request for public records if, in fact, it requires an in-person efforts or in-person appearance. Notice deferrals does not apply to appeals. You cannot defer an appeal. You do have to specifically explain in your notification to the requester the reason for the election of the deferral. You can't just say requires in-person inspection. You have to specifically say why. Provide notice to the requester, and the requester may choose to amend his request to exclude those deferred portions and receive a more timely response to the request. So, for example, if the request asks for everything under the moon, which we all know we can't do, but you can provide a portion of it, but you can't satisfy the entire request because part of his request will require an in-person inspection, then you need to let them know in your notice for deferral that if they want to amend their request to eliminate whatever portion you're unable to respond to, then they can amend their request and you would be able to more respond to at least a portion of their request. So we talked already about in an earlier slide the options in responding to requests under FOIA. Now these are the options to respond to a request under the executive order. You can grant the request, you can deny the request, you can grant in part, deny in part, you can extend for not more than 10 days. Now, those are all consistent with FOIA. Well, here are the new ones. Number 5 is if the orders, recommendations, or other response efforts surrounding COVID interferes with a timely response, then you can extend the time to respond for as long as necessary, but no later than June 4th, which is the last day or the day before it actually expires, or a later date if the order is extended. And then the 6th option is you can defer the time to respond until the expiration of the order, June 4th, or an extension of that order. This is just dealing with requests for public records. So now we're going to talk about responding to appeals. And you'll notice there are five options. One's missing, and you've probably already figured out that the sixth one that's missing is the deferrals because it doesn't apply to appeals. So your options in responding to appeals all must be in writing. Reverse the denial, uphold the denial, reverse in part, uphold in part, extend the time to respond for not more than 10 days. Keep in mind, this one is the unusual circumstance on appeals. And then five, if the orders, recommendations, or other response efforts surrounding COVID interferes with a timely response, extend the time to respond for as long as necessary, but no later than June 4th. So those are really the only distinctions. The reason I told you that the extension portion of the executive order was confusing in application is because why would you extend a request for public documents if you could defer it? And how do you distinguish between extending or deferring? And while the statute or the EO specifically distinguishes between extension and deferral by in-person efforts, in the end, it could equate to the same thing. And so you might have a situation where it could be one, the other, or both, where you'd exercise your ability to extend or defer. So here's the decision tree that was prepared by Clyde Robinson. He's a city attorney for the city of Kalamazoo. He's kindly allowed us to put this into this presentation to assist you. I know it's hard to read, and I think MML is going to do something to help so that you could get a better version of this. But the way he's done it is he's done it in a way where you ask a question, and then depending on the answer to that question, it will take you to the next question and it will direct you to how to respond to FOIA requests. So it's really just a helpful flowchart of what to do and how to do it. This is the letter that I was explaining took, what, seven attorneys at my firm a day and a half to settle on. Just coming up with proper terminology that you could use when you respond to a FOIA request. Now, again, we are not your attorney. We are a handful of attorneys who have experience in municipal law and who's decided this is how we are going to handle it. If you're going to use this, you might want to still run it by your counsel just to make sure they're on board with how you're going to handle it. But our sample response basically covers the first paragraph talks about the order and why we're modifying the way we handle FOIA requests. And then it lays out the extension, which talks about what we talked about, when you might exercise your ability to extend. It also gives you the option for deferral. So basically, you would pick the paragraph that applies and you would put it in, whether it's extension or deferral. And then we have the final paragraph that goes in all of your documents and talks about judicial review and your right to appeal, which, as you all know, is required. And it ends with putting a link to your policies and procedures on your website. We've also drafted website notices for our clients so that our clients put these on their website where their FOIA documents are so that people understand that while we have our FOIA policies online, this is a temporary deviation from our adopted FOIA policies in order to, as a result of Executive Order 2020-38. Feel free to use this. Again, you probably want to run it by your legal counsel before you do that. But we wanted to provide you just some guidelines and some guidance if you choose to use it. And that's all I have. I'm happy to answer any questions. I know the changes are complicated, but they're really not very, it's not very voluminous. It's just a matter of understanding what her requests are. Emily?
All right. Thank you, Lisa. I do have a question for you that we have been getting or hearing a lot of. And that question is, what if your FOIA coordinator can receive emails at home but does not have access to the government server from home?
So the direct answer to that question is that would be a good case to defer. Why? Because that would require an in-person effort. She would have to go into City Hall in order to obtain the record. So it would fall under the deferral. But let me toss something back at you, or at least explain some variations to that, because we have received some questions. And the question is, what if the FOIA coordinator receives it, does not have access to the server, but a part-time employee who does have access to the server can do it, but because of the modified schedule, won't be in again for 2 weeks. Well, in that case, since you know you'll be able to do it, you might choose to exercise the option to extend for longer than 10 days, but prior to the expiration of the governor's order to respond to the request. This is where I tell you it gets a little tricky, because is it an extension or is it a deferral? And the big distinction is, if it requires an in-person inspection, it's definitely going to be a deferral.
Great. All right. And we just want to clarify, while we still have Lisa on the phone, that the templates that you referenced, we will make those available to all of the attendees today, and it will be available on our coronavirus resource page. And that looks like all of the questions that we have for you today, Lisa. This was super helpful. And I know that our members are all responding in the chat with their thanks for joining us. So again, thanks to Lisa for sharing critical information with our members about these new FOIA requirements during the COVID-19 state of emergency. As I mentioned earlier, after the webinar today, we will email the PowerPoint to all participants. We'll make sure that these resources are available on our website as well. And this webinar in particular will be posted in multiple formats for you to review or share on our coronavirus resource page at www.mml.org. You can access any of the webinars we've done before on this topic or in relation to COVID-19 there as well. So it's a great resource for you. A few other resources of note before you leave us today. Each Monday at noon, we have been conducting our traditional Monday Morning Live as a new Working from Home series with our lobbying team via webinar. And next up in our series, we'll be hosting another webinar on Monday to provide you with information on cybersecurity for municipalities. This is especially crucial now when we are faced with supporting and securing a collection of new teleworkers due to COVID-19. And the session will include best practices on how to detect and respond to modern cyber attacks against our communities in a growing digital world. Stay tuned for more information and other important webinar topics as we navigate these uncharted waters together. Thank you all, and that concludes our session for today.
Thank you.
This has been a production of the Michigan Municipal League. For more information on our programs and services, please visit www.mml.org and join us for the next episode of We Love Where You Live.